الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. In continuing with أصول السنة إمام أحمد رحمه الله, إمام أحمد رحمه الله, he said ومن ترك الصلاة فقد كفر, and whoever discards the prayer or leaves the prayer then he disbelieves. وليس من الأعمال شيء تركه كفر إلا الصلاة, and there isn't anything considered to be kufr, that which you leave considered to be kufr, except as-salah. من تركها فهو كافر, whoever leaves it then he is a disbeliever. وقد أحل الله قتله, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made lawful killing, and that's obviously not for us, it's for the leader of the Muslims. Sheikh Rabi' حفظه الله says in that first part, هناك أدلة كثيرة يا إخوة, there are many proofs to show you that leaving the prayer means that you will end up falling into disbelief. And they have many proofs to say that. And here we're referring to يعني leaving the prayer even تكاسلاً, even out of laziness. That's one of the positions. And the proof they use is the verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُ الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانَكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ, and if they repent and they establish the prayer and they give the charity, then they are your brothers in faith. So therefore, if they don't do that, they're not considered to be your brothers. And Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah used this as a proof as well to show that tarik al-salah disbelieves, even out of laziness. So Shaykh Rabi' Hafidullah says, in explanation of Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmad, he says, قد تحصل الأخوة, brotherhood could come about. When does it come about? إلا بعد الدخول في الإيمان, after one enters إيمان, then one becomes brothers. And we become brothers. One enters إيمان, and then what else do they do after that? They establish the prayer, and that is from إيمان. وإيتاء الزكاة, and they give the charity. So therefore, they're considered to be brothers. فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُ الزَّكَاةَ فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ, and in Surah At-Tawbah verse 50, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if they repent and establish the prayer and give the charity, then leave the affair. Meaning, خلاص, they are, alhamdulillah, considered to be Muslims. فَلَا يَخْلَى سَبِيلُهُمْ أَوْ يُخْلَى سَبِيلُهُمْ وَيَرْفَعْ عَنْهُمْ السَّيْفِ إِلَّا إِذَا آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُ الزَّكَاةَ. So the affair is left alone if they believe, once they believe and they establish the prayer and they give the charity. حُجَجٌ قَوِيَّةٌ, proofs that are considered to be very strong and many, from the statement of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَمَنْ تَرَكَ الصَّلَاةَ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ, and whoever leaves the prayer, then he disbelieves. And that narration is in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, in Sahih, as Shaykh Al-Bani rahimahullah showed. And the hadith, بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ والكفر والشرك ترك الصلاة, between a servant and kufr and disbelief and shirk, and falling into disbelief and shirk, is discarding the prayer. So the affair of the prayer is great indeed, he says, and it is the umud al-Islam, yani the pillar of Islam, one of the five pillars of Islam. And in the narration from Abdullah ibn Shaqiq, as Imam Ahmad rahimullah mentioned, there isn't anything that the Sahaba saw that once a person leaves is considered to be upon disbelief except the prayer. And Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah likewise uses that proof to show that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they considered leaving the prayer out of laziness considered to be falling into disbelief. The person falls into disbelief. And then he mentioned the statement of Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah that the majority of the scholars, however, from the Ahl al-Ilm and the Sahaba and other than them, and the Jamahir Ahl al-Ilm min al-Sahaba, yani the scholars from the companions, considered that leaving the prayer, then that makes a person fall into disbelief. And some of the scholars, yani after the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, from the scholars of Ahl al-Sunnah, the majority of them, They said he doesn't leave. Anyway, there's difference of opinion about that statement of Shaqiq, Abdullah ibn Shaqiq, because he said there isn't anything that they saw as kufr, as disbelief. So the ones who say that leaving the prayer out of laziness, because as for juhud and rejection, there is no disagreement amongst all the scholars that the one who leaves the prayer out of rejection, you tell him to pray and he rejects. So he says, what salah is this? What is this? What is that? And he rejects the prayer. This one is a kafir, a disbeliever. But the one who rejects the prayer, not rejects, the one who leaves the prayer out of laziness, this is where the difference of opinion is. So even the statement of Abdullah ibn Shaqiq, he said there isn't anything that the Sahaba considered more, yani, there isn't anything more that the Sahaba considered leaving to be disbelief than the prayer, if the person leaves it. However, disbelief, there's a difference between what is meant by disbelief. Is it mean that he's a kafir or he's in kufr amali, kufr in action? So this is where they differed. So those other narrations which mention that it is disbelief to leave the prayer, yani, even out of laziness, then that those narrations actually, there's difference of opinion about the word kufr. Does it mean that he is a kafir or he is just kufr in action? So there's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars, because Ahl Sunnah, they say that iman has levels, and also the opposite, kufr has levels. Kufr has levels. The highest form of iman is la ilaha illallah. The lowest form of iman is to remove a harmful object from the path. So if iman has levels, don't you think that the opposite will not have levels? Of course, the opposite, kufr, has levels. So there's kufr i'tiqadi, kufr in belief, which makes you go out of Islam. And there's kufr in action, where you're still a Muslim, but you are a sinful person, an oppressor to yourself. So that's kufr in action. So they differed over salah, leaving the prayer out of laziness. Is it kufr i'tiqadi or kufr amali? Does it make you leave the whole of Islam, or does it make you upon kufr in action? And kufr in action, as we know, is a major sin. It doesn't make you come out of Islam. It doesn't make you come out of Islam, yani, unless it's that action of kufr which in and by itself is opposing iman. Like cursing Allah is kufr in action, huh? But and this in itself is opposing iman. So therefore the person leaves Islam if he curses Allah, and if he curses the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he leaves Islam. So this is some of the, yani, the details that the ulama mentioned regarding this affair. So kufr, those who say that he leaves Islam, they use those proofs of, as we have seen. They say it's kufr, is in belief, because he's not your brother. Allah said, وَإِنْ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. They are your brothers in faith. So they use that proof, as well as those other hadith that we have just mentioned, that يعني العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن ترك فقد كفر. The pact between us and them, meaning us and the non-Muslims, is the prayer. Whoever leaves it, then he has disbelieved. Whoever leaves it, then he has disbelieved. So they say that that is another proof to say that the person has disbelieved. But the other ulama who say no, the other ulama, the likes of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah, and other than Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah, who say that no, he's still a Muslim. He's still a Muslim, but he is a zalim fasiq. He is an oppressor and a sinful person. And the proof they use is, they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the thing that Allah will not forgive is a shirk. And he will forgive anything else besides that to whomsoever he wills. As Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَيْشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. They use that as a proof to say that other than shirk, Allah will forgive, yani, or can forgive major sins. The person is under the will of Allah. If he wills, he forgives him. If he wills, he punishes him for a period of time in the hellfire. But in the end, so long as he has a grain of faith, he will come out of the hellfire. And that is the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri in Kitab al-Tawheed in Bukhari, the last chapter of Sa'id al-Bukhari, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, the angels interceded, yani, for the people of the hellfire, the salihun interceded, the anbiya interceded, and what is left is the intercession of ar-Rahman, the intercession of the most merciful. So Allah will take out of the hellfire those who have a grain of faith, and those who have less and less and less than a grain of faith, and he will take them out of the hellfire. In one narration, he will take out those from the hellfire who haven't done any good deeds. And this caused a big discussion amongst the ulama. But alhamdulillah, يعني there is a narration in Musnad Imam Ahmad which clarifies it all, that they haven't done any good deeds except Tawheed. So they have done the minimum, if you like, the bare minimum. So these are the ones that will come out of the hellfire. Yani, and they say, and the ulama say, like Sheikh Al-Banihullah said, they will come out of the hellfire even yani, if they were on and off in their prayer, and now and then they were praying and they were on and off. As for those who don't pray at all and discard the prayer yani, by rejection, then that is by consensus yani, of agreement of all the ulama, that that person is not a Muslim. Because when a person is enters Islam, he has to fulfill the pillars of Islam. Yani from the prayer and so on. And the prayer in particular, yani as you can see, there are strong narrations regarding it. So even Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, even though in this Surah Sunnah, he mentions about that the person leaves the prayer, yani even out of laziness. He says that the person who leaves the prayer, then he's a disbeliever. Even Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, there is a report from him to say, also one narration to say that he's not a kafir, he's not a disbeliever, but he's still a Muslim if he leaves it out of laziness, not out of rejection. Huh? Rejection is clear. We're talking about out of laziness. And there are many Muslims, unfortunately, who leave their prayer out of laziness. And when you call them to pray, they may pray with you, and then afterwards they may leave their prayer. So, wallahu a'lam, the strongest position is that they are still Muslim, but they are sinful Muslims, and they are oppressive to themselves, and they have been threatened with the fire for a long period of time to be punished in the hellfire and to be punished in the grave, because they have left the most important pillar in Islam after Tawheed, which is As-Salah. And that is in a nutshell what Sheikh Rabi' Hafidhullah says in that section there. And then he moves on to the next section, which is regarding the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, and that's quite a long section, where Imam Ahmad rahimullah says the best of this ummah after the Prophet ﷺ is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, then Umar ibn al-Khattab, then Uthman ibn Affan, and he says we put these three forward as the Sahaba used to put them forward. These three from the Ashab, then the Ashab al-Shura al-Khamsa, the five who united after that, the consensus, they had that consensus, and they are Ali ibn Abi Talib, Zubair ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Sa'ad, Talha, kulluhum yasluhu lil khilafa. All of them يعني, have the right to have the khilafa, but they united that Ali radiallahu anhu to be the khalifa. Kulluhum imam, wa nadhhabu fi dhalika ila hadith ibn Umar. And then Imam Ahmad rahimullah mentions the hadith of Ibn Umar, kunna na'uddu wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hay, وأصحابه متوافرون أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان ثم نسكت. We used to consider in the time of the Messenger while he was alive, we used to consider the best of the companions to be Abu Bakr, then Umar, and then Uthman, and then we would be quiet. And even Sheikh Rabi says, if that means that they differed at that time who's to be the best of the companions after these three, and in the end the Ummah united that Ali radiallahu anhu is the best of the companions after the three. So after them is considered to be Ashab al-Shura, and from them is Ali radiallahu anhu, and then the people of Badr, and then the Muhajirun, ثم أهل بدر من الأنصار, then the Ashab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam على قدر الهجرة والسابقة أولا فأول. So this is the tertib that Imam Ahmad rahimullah mentions, yani the categorization or the status of the companions in these the levels that they used to have, the virtue according to this order. Then after them, the best of them are the rest of the companions, and after the companions, the next generation, the tabi'un, from amongst the Muslims, the righteous. And then Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says, and anyone who yani was with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a month or even a day. And before that he said even a year, or even a month, or even a day, or even an hour. Or he saw the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he is considered to be a companion. Then he has that suhbah according to the qadr, or the measure of how much he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those who were with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a long period of time, they were better and considered to be better than those who came afterwards and much later. those who heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and were with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it would be better than those who came afterwards and didn't see him nor they heard from him. So the adnahum, or the lowest level compared to, of the companions, and they are still the companions, they are better than the next generations who came after them. Even though Imam Ahmad says the later generations were to meet Allah with so many good deeds. Even though they were to meet Allah with so many good deeds. Why? Because the companions, Allah chose them to be at that time. As Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, Allah looked into the hearts of the people and chose the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be the best of the hearts of the people. And after that, he chose the hearts of the companions to be the best of the hearts of the people, yani from the ummah of Muhammad. So Imam Ahmad rahimullah continues and he says that those who yani were companions to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and heard from him and saw him, they were the best of the people. So, and whoever believed in him and he died upon iman, that is considered to be the companion. Ibn Hajar rahimullah mentions that as well. The one who saw the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or met the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believed in him and died upon that, he's a sahabi. And the proof he used is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Tawba liman ra'ani wa amana bi." Glad tidings for the ones who see me and believed in me. So he used that as proof to show who is a sahabi. And all of them are considered to be udul, trustworthy, because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in their presence, he said, "Ballighu anni walau ayah." Convey to me, even if it's one ayah. He didn't say except you, except you, except you. So he left it general. Sheikh Rabi Hafidhullah, to show the superiority of the companions and that they had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned the verse where Allah says in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 100, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. That the سَابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ, the first and foremost amongst the Muslims, yani from the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were the muhajirun, the migrators, like Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Wal Ansar, from those who came after the migration, after the battle of Uhud, Khalid bin Walid, for example, became Muslim. Khalid bin Walid became Muslim. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he said one time to Abdurrahman ibn Auf, "It's only a few days that you have preceded us. Yani it's like there isn't really much difference between you and me." And Abdurrahman ibn Auf, you know, because those Sahaba who were in Mecca and they were tortured and they went through so much hardship, some of them even, you know, couldn't, it was so unbearable that they had to leave to Habasha, Ethiopia, to get away from the punishment, the torture, and so on and so forth. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu complained to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Look, Khalid Walid is saying this." So Prophet, because of that, he said, "Don't revile my companions." Even though Khalid Walid is a Sahabi, but he meant, don't revile, don't insult, don't compare, don't think that you are better than those who came before. Those who came before from the Muhajirun, they are the best of the Sahaba. The Muhajirun, they are better than the Ansar. And even in the expeditions, they would be in the front of the expedition. Prophet would put them in front. And Allah mentioned them here first. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ. Then he mentioned the Ansar. So this Muhajirun are considered to be the best of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, the likes of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Umar ibn Khattab and Uthman ibn Affan and Ali radhiyallahu anhum. All of them are considered to be the Muhajirun, and likewise Abdurrahman ibn Auf. So the Prophet said, "Don't revile my companions, for if you were to give charity the size of Uhud in gold, you would not even reach the mud of one of them, yani a handful, a measure of one handful, two hands, sorry, when they put together is called a mud of one of them, or even half of that. وَلَوْ نَصِيفَ ذَلِكَ وَلَا نَصِيفَ. Even half of that you will not be able to reach. And Shaykh Rabi has a faida, he says, the Sahaba gave more than that, more than a mud. That's a very nice faida, wallah. I never read that anywhere else. Shaykh Rabi Hafidhullah says, Sahaba gave more than a mud. Rasulullah said, even if you were to give one mud, you will not reach Uhud in gold. You see how big Uhud is, the biggest mountain in Medina. You will not even reach that. If you were to give that in gold as a charity, you will not even reach that. Talha radiallahu anhu, when he heard that you do not truly believe until you give the best of what Allah has given you, yani of charity, he had a garden, a beautiful garden, and he gave it all in charity. He goes, "I give this in charity." The Sahaba didn't just give one mud. or half of a mud. So if you can't even reach one mud or half of a mud of what they have done, how you can't reach that. How about what they, if they have given more than a mud? If they have given much more, and they have given much more than a mud, so therefore, how far they are in front of us? How far? And that's why Allah called them the sabiqun al awwalun. They are the sabiqun. Naam. No. Sahih.
How do we understand that in terms of our own belief?
In terms of our own belief, it means completeness of iman. You haven't reached the completeness of iman. You see, those narrations which on the outset they are seen to be negating iman. La yu'minu. It's like negating, isn't it? It's like that's why the takfiris, they use these narrations, and they think those narrations where it says la yu'minu, it becomes a kafir. But not true. Not necessarily. This is negating the completeness of iman. So all those verses, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. They don't truly believe until they make you, Rasulullah, as a judge between them. So a lot of the takfiris, they use those verses, as well as وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. They use those verses in order to say the person who doesn't do this, he's a kafir. But there is tafsil on this issue. Ahl al-Sunnah, alhamdulillah, they don't generalize like the Ahl bid'ah. But Ahl al-Sunnah, they speak with specifics. So regarding those ayat, regarding negating iman for not ruling with Allah's law, it depends. Sheikh Saif Ozan says there are four levels for the hakim. Number one, if he says that other than Allah's law, like these foreign laws, are better. And not only he says, there's a difference here. He says, if he believes, where does belief come from? Your heart, first and foremost. It emanates from your heart. If he believes that other than Allah's laws are better than Allah's laws, then he's a disbeliever. He's a kafir. If he believes that they are equal, then he's a disbeliever. If he believes that he has a choice, then he is a disbeliever. If he believes that Allah's laws that are backward and are barbaric, and he believes that they are going backwards in time, then he's a disbeliever. If he believes now, we mentioned actually four and the fifth one. If he believes, number five, that Allah's laws is the truth, and he believes, he knows that this is the haq, but he takes a bribe on the side, or because of weakness of iman he doesn't rule by Allah's law, then he's still a Muslim, but he is an oppressor, sinner. You see the difference that Ahl Sunnah make, the categorizations. And this is exactly what the Imam have mentioned in the past. They have separated between kufr amali and kufr i'tiqadi, kufr in belief and kufr in action. And that's why Imam Bukhari rahimahullah in his Sahih al-Bukhari, he has Al-Kufr Duna Kufr chapter, Bab Kufr Duna Kufr. Kufr, not the kufr which takes you out of Islam. And this is what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said regarding the verse وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِأَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. He said this refers to kufr Duna Kufr, not the kufr which takes you out of Islam, unless you follow those categories which Sheikh Salih Fawzan mentioned. Unless you believe that other than Allah's laws are better and so on and so forth, then you leave Islam. But if you believe that Allah's law is the haq and is the truth and is the... How do we ascertain if that ruler believes that? You have to establish the proof upon that person. Iqamat al-hujjah. Before you make takfir on a person, you have to establish the proof. That's why it's for the ulama. It's not for the likes of you and me. And the ulama, this is proof they use, that you have to establish the hujjah upon the person before you make him a kafir. But the takfiris, the takfiriyun, whether they are in the West or other places, they usually don't establish the hukum upon the person. They have blanket statements of takfir. Like these misguided groups nowadays you find. They have kufr is one to them. There's no kufr duna kufr. They don't read Bukhari. They don't read the books of the past. They don't know the statement of Ibn Abbas. And even some of the clever ones, supposedly, supposedly the intellectual ones, who have done a bit of study but not too much, they are the ones who say, oh, but the statement of Ibn Abbas is da'if, it's not authentic. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave us in the dark. There's another narration from Ibn Abbas that there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And that is where Ibn Abbas said, it is not the kufr that you rush to. لَيْسَ الْكُفْرُ الَّذِي تَدْهَبُونَ إِلَيْهِ. Another wording which has no doubt about it. Even those other ones, there's no doubt about it. Kufr duna kufr, there's no doubt about it. But these ones, they like to look, you know, be a bit smart. But even in this situation, they are, their position is marjuh. Their position is refuted easily. Why? Because another statement from Ibn Abbas is not the kufr that you rush towards. What is the kufr that you rush towards? Takfir, taking the person out of Islam. Barakallahu fikum. And that is shown. Anyway, there's proof of that. If anyone wants to go further in detail to see the isnad and so on, alhamdulillah, we can bring that and show you. There's a book just on that. There's a whole book just on the statements of Ibn Abbas, all the different statements just on this issue of kufr duna kufr. And the a'imma like Imam Bukhari, he followed that. That's why he says bab kufr duna kufr. So if a takfiri reads that, he won't understand that bab. So what does it mean? Kufr duna kufr. Kufr but not kufr. Kufr less than kufr. He won't understand that, because for him is kufr kafir. He doesn't have kufr duna kufr. Kufr action, kufr i'tiqadi. For him, he just leaves Islam. Khalas, he's a kafir. So going back to your question, which is a detailed yani subject, then the issue of iman, kufr has levels, iman has levels. And there are those narrations which supposedly negate iman, they are actually negating the completeness of faith, not negating all of iman, but negating you being a complete Muslim or the best of the Muslims. So for example, that narration which says لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه, none of you truly believe, that's why we translate it as truly believe, not none of you believe, that would be incorrect translation because you don't have the correct aqidah. None of you truly believe until you wish for your brother what you wish for yourself. This is negating kamalul iman, completeness of iman, not all of iman. Otherwise, if I don't give my brother what I like for myself, then how many kuffar are we going to make? Happens. Many people fall into that. You know, you may have something nice, a nice car, you didn't give it to your brother. Or you may have lending something to your Muslim brother, to your neighbor, so you become a kafir just because you didn't do that. No, you're still a Muslim. So none of you truly believe, meaning completeness of iman. And there's other proofs as well that Shaykh Rabi' Hafidullah mentions. And other than Shaykh Rabi' Hafidullah, from the A'immah to Ahl Sunnah, they mentioned the other issue of takfir or kufr, to show you clearly the difference between kufr in action and kufr in belief. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sibabul Muslim fusuq wa qitaluhu kufr. Reviling your Muslim brother is sin, and killing him is kufr. Killing, if you kill your Muslim brother, is disbelief. Does that make you leave Islam? No. It doesn't make you leave Islam unless you make it halal for yourself. If you say it's halal for me to kill him. No. In many cases, nobody says that. In many cases, the person, a person who falls into killing another Muslim is because of an argument that breaks out and shaitan gets the better of him and he kills his Muslim brother. Does he leave Islam? No. He's still a Muslim, but he is sinful. How do we know that? Because Allah mentioned the Quran. In Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah says, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا. And if two believers, group of believers, kill each other, they fight each other, then what happens? وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا. Then rectify between the two. فَإِن بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَى أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. So here, clearly this verse shows you that if you kill, which is not allowed, it's a major sin, it's from the destructive sins, then you don't leave Islam, but you are a sinful person who has oppressed himself and is threatened with the fire. If Allah doesn't forgive you, you'll be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you don't leave the fold of Islam. And also the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding the as-sabbu fil ansabi is considered to be kufr, to insult the family name is also considered to be kufr. Do you leave Islam if you do that? No. If somebody insults somebody's family's his name, does he leave Islam? No. He is upon a state of disbelief but doesn't leave Islam. The action of disbelief, not disbelief in not disbelief which stems from your heart which makes you leave Islam, disbelief in aqidah. No, so you're still a Muslim. So this issue of iman has been misunderstood by the Khawarij, by the Takfiriyun, those who go around calling all the Muslim leaders kuffar without establishing the proof against them, those who call their Muslim brothers kuffar, and they themselves, they fall into one transgression after the other. So the Sahaba, they even they killed the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. They considered the Uthman to be a kafir. So how do you expect them to withhold their tongues about on us and the ulama? They considered Uthman to be a kafir radhiyallahu anhu. And they went out against Uthman and they killed him in his own house. The Khawarij and Imam al-Zanjani, Abu Ali al-Zanjani rahimullah, who died 471 Hijriya, he mentioned in his Mandhuma, in his lines of poetry, that those who killed Uthman radiallahu anhu in his own house, they were Khawarij. They were Khawarij. And the reason why they killed him is because they thought that he was not fit to rule by Allah's law. They thought that he did not rule by Allah's law correctly. And not only that, they disliked him. It's putting Muawiyah radiallahu anhu to lead Sham, to be the leader of Sham. And another one, I think it was Sa'id bin Mansur, to be the leader of Kufa. And they wanted to kill even the leader of Kufa. And they wanted to kill Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And so a group of them, these rabble rousers, these Khawarij renegades, just like nowadays, these renegades who go around killing indiscriminately, whether it's women, children, everyone and anyone, they were going to kill the leader of Kufa, whom Uthman radiallahu anhu put, and this narration is in Sahih Muslim. Uthman radiallahu anhu put this leader in Kufa to be a leader over the Muslims. They didn't want him to be leader. They wanted, and usually it's for dunya reasons, because they maybe want some dunya for themselves. Like Dhul Khawaisra, he said, "I'dil ya Muhammad, be just, O Muhammad," when he was dealing with the booty. He wanted some of the booty for himself. So the Khawarij know that what desires them is not deen, it is dunya. They want some for themselves. And you hear it from a lot of the Khawarij nowadays. This ruler, look, he has wasted the Muslims' money, he has so much this, he has so much that. They would like a share for themselves. And if they were put in that situation, who knows if they would do any better? Who knows if they will do any better? Because mal in the Arabic language means to deviate. Wealth means to deviate. So mala yamilu maylan. Mala yamilu maylan. So because of money, people deviate. Nas'Allah salama. Mala yamilu maylan. That's why it's called mal. That's why it's called money. We call it money, but it doesn't make sense in English. It doesn't have any meaning. But in Arabic, it means to deviate. Because too much wealth, if you're not careful, you will go astray. Mala yamilu maylan. So the Khawarij, they want that wealth. They want it for themselves and they want position. So anyway, when these rabble rousers, these Khawarij, went out to kill the leader of Kufa, they realized that, Uthman realized that, and he called them all to solve their differences. Called who? Called the leaders, Muawiyah and the leader of Kufa. He called them, had a meeting, and then he sent them back. So when these Khawarij are going out to kill him, kill the leader of Kufa, they didn't realize that he's gone already. So one time, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he knew about the fitan that's going to occur after the death of Rasulullah, because Muhammad told him, he's considered to be the secret of Rasulullah, sir Rasulullah. So he kept that, he knew there's not going to be the killing of that leader of Kufa. He knew that there was going to be any fitna there. Another companion, when he saw Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu sitting under the shade of a tree, and he heard about the Khawarij going out to kill the leader, he said, "There's going to be fitna, there's going to be fitna, there's going to be fitna." So Hudhayfa, in a calm manner, relaxed manner, he said, "There's not going to be fitna." Because he realized that leader is going to leave at that time. The other Sahabi said, "Wallahi, there's going to be fitna." Hudhayfa said, "There's not going to be fitna." Again, he said, "Wallahi, there's going to be fitna in Kufa." He said, "Wallahi, there's not going to be fitna." And then somebody said to the other companion, "You know who he is? He's Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. Sir Rasulullah, he knows the fitna, when it's going to happen, when it's not going to happen." So he said, "You made me swear by Allah, when you know Rasulullah already said, there's not going to be fitna." And that's what happened. There wasn't fitna at that time, because in the end, at that time, that leader. And what happened was Uthman, just to make the situation easy, he changed that leader for another leader, just so that the situation could be made easier, so there's no fitan. There's no fitan. There's no trials and tribulations and turmoil. And but the Khawarij, they didn't desist. They continued persisting upon looking at the faults of the rulers. Even though the rulers were Sahaba. The leader in Sham was Muawiyah radhiallahu anhu, the scribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to write hadith for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His sister Habiba is the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why they call Muawiyah Khalil Mu'mineen, the uncle of the believers. Why? Because his wife Habiba, she married Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was called Khalil Mu'mineen, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, the Sahabi son of another Sahabi, Abu Sufyan radhiallahu anhu. But yet they reviled Muawiyah radhiallahu anhu. And they reviled Uthman radiallahu anhu. And they reviled the Muslim leaders. And they reviled Ali radiallahu anhu. And they killed them all. If they killed all of these Sahaba, do you think they will hold back in 9/11? Do you think they will hold back in 7/7? Do you think they will hold back in the Khomar and Riyadh bombings? Don't be surprised that the Khawarij live in caves, giving their fatwa from the caves, while the people in Afghanistan were being killed and bombarded. Women, children, 100,000 were killed in Algeria. Because of who? Because of the fatwa of the Khawarij. The fatwa of the Khawarij, they are the result of much bloodshed to be killed. Because they are the ones, they don't have hikmah, they don't have wisdom, and they don't have principles, qawaid. They don't have ilm and hilm, knowledge and wisdom, and forbearance and patience. They don't have that. And this is why they killed Ali radiallahu anhu. They gathered together 6,000 of them in a place called Nahrawan. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu went out to them and debated with them. They said to him, they are making, Ali radiallahu anhu is making the men rule. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that it's allowed to make a person judge between the others and rule by Allah's law, to make a judge between the others. Then they said, okay, khalas. Each time they made an excuse. And Ibn Abbas in the end said to them, there's no one from the Sahaba amongst you. Sahaba are alive and no one from Sahaba amongst you. وَلَيْسَ فِيكُمْ أَحَدٌ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. No Sahaba amongst you. 4,000 turned back in one report. And how many left? 2,000 in one report. And they are the ones who fought Ali radiallahu anhu, and they killed him. They fought him and they killed him radiallahu anhu. So how do you expect them now to be? Each time, Rasulullah said, each time a horn is cut from them, another one appears. So they will continue. And the last of them will be with the Dajjal, fighting against the Muslims. These are the Khawarij who supposedly are out for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are out to defend the deen of Allah. They didn't even defend the Sahaba, they killed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So don't be surprised when they read Quran, or they fast the days, or they pray the nights. Don't be surprised by that. Because the Messenger said, يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَا يَفُوتْ حَنَاجِرَهُمْ. They read Quran, doesn't go beyond their throats. And the Prophet said, تَحْقِرُونَ صَلَاتَكُمْ إِلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ وَصِيَامَكُمْ إِلَى صِيَامِهِمْ. You will feel that your prayer is deficient compared to their prayer. He's talking to who? Not me and you. He's talking to the Sahaba. And you will consider your fast deficient compared to their fast. They leave the deen just as the arrow enters the hunted animal. Just like that, straight away. They leave the deen very quickly, because they're not built upon principles. So the Sahaba, Uthman, was killed in his own house. While he's reading Quran, he was reading the verse فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهِ in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah will suffice you over them. And they killed him. And Uthman radiallahu anhu knew that he was going to die. Because the Prophet said, one time the Prophet was on Uhud, and he said, when Abu Bakr came, and Umar came, and Uthman came, and they sat down, radiallahu anhu, when they sat down next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Uhud shook. Because it's weighty. You have Sahaba, you have Rasulullah, Uhud, the whole of Mount Uhud shook. So the Prophet ﷺ hit it with his foot, and he said, "Uthbut Uhudan, fa inna alayka Rasul, fa inna alayka Nabi, wa Siddiq, wa Shahidan, inna alayka wa Shahidain. Fa inna alayka Nabi. For upon you is a Prophet and Siddiq, يعني Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, and two martyrs. Who were the two martyrs? Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, who was killed while he was praying Salat al-Fajr by the Majusi, the fire worshipper. Abu Lu'lu al-Du'ali, who killed himself in the end. Hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, you can read the whole narration of Umar al-Khattab. And the second martyr was Uthman radiallahu anhu. So Uthman knew that he was going to die. And he was very gentle. Even the angels are shy in the presence of Uthman radiallahu anhu. But they killed him because they wanted the position and their own. So the Sahaba, they are the ones who carry this deed. Allah brightened their faces. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, نَظَرَ اللَّهُ مْرِئًا سَمِعَ مَقَالَتِي فَوَعَاهُ وَأَدَّهَا كَمَا سَمِعَهَا. They proclaimed this deen for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised them. And Shaykh Rabi says, he quotes the verse in the Quran, لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَاتَلْ. They're not equal. Those who strove the utmost in giving charity before the fatih, before the victory. Those Sahaba came afterwards, not like the Sahaba became Muslim before. Not like them. Because they strove, they were tortured, they went through so much hardship and difficulty. Those Sahaba migrated from Mecca to Medina. It's not that easy. Nowadays, mashallah, you have a car, you have air conditioning. 400 kilometers on foot is not easy. أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ بَعْدٍ. They are greater in reward from those who gave charity afterwards. مِنْ بَعْدُ وَقَاتَلُوا وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ حُسْنًا. Shaykh Rabbi says, look at the verses. All of them, Allah will give them husna, paradise. All of them, Allah has promised good for them. And Allah says, وَعَدَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises to them, to the believers. يعني رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with him. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. Allah described them as the best of people, the best of generations come out for the people. In Surah Al-Hashr he mentions للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم, referring to those who migrated from their houses from Mecca to Medina, the muhajirun. They left their houses and they were فقراء, they were poor, they were in need, they didn't have much. من ديارهم وأموالهم. They left their houses and their wealth. يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا, seeking the blessing of Allah and His pleasure. وينصرون الله ورسوله, and they give victory to Allah and His Rasul. أولئك هم الصادقون, they are the truthful ones. والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان. Then Allah mentioned about the Ansar, those who are considered to be from the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم of Medina, the Ansar. تبوأوا الدار والإيمان. Look at the stages. The best of them were the first of them. The second of them is الَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانِ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. And دار والإيمان, they say, is Medina. The house, the abode. And that is the abode of Iman, wallah. Because the Prophet said, الْإِيمَانُ يَأْرِزُ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ كَمَا تَأْرِزُ الْحَيَّةُ إِلَى جُحْرِهَا. Iman will go back to Medina just like the snake goes back to its hole. So this is a place of Iman. Allah described it. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانِ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They love those who migrate towards them. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. And they don't find anything against. Huh? Let's go back to the verse. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They love those who migrated to them. As one of the companions said to Abdurrahman ibn Auf, choose any one of my wives that you want. He didn't just give him his wife, because he had more than one wife. He said, choose. Subhanallah. And he look at that. He said, choose any one of my wife you want. And here's some wealth. And Abdurrahman, he didn't. He said, show me where the market is. Look, earning a living is important, ikhwan. Not to always beg from the state and ask money from the state. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he said, show me where the market is. And he became from the most richest of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, because he was working for his living. Allah blessed him. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. So what if they have been given from wealth, the Sahaba of Medina, what Allah has provided them with, they didn't find anything in their heart in sharing that with the migrants who came from Makkah. They didn't find anything in their heart against sharing that with their brothers. They were real brothers with the Muhajirun. Real brothers. They loved those who came to them. And even though that would be difficult for themselves, they will give, even though they would have less. Because he says, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They make even them difficult for themselves. وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. Even though they had a need for that. وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. No. And they have no jealousy in their breast for that which they have been given from the booty, and give them, inshallah, this is the correct translation. That's a mistake from myself. Yani I missed out this bit here. And they have no jealousy in their breast for that which they have been given from the booty of Bani Nadir, and give them immigrants. Now, so basically, just to complete that translation, that which they have been given, they have no thing in their heart against giving it to other than themselves. And that is what we meant when we said that. وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. Even though they have a need for that, even though it was hard for them. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And those who يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ. So the person who's shahih is a person who is miserly, and they would withhold falling into miserly, to be the miserliness, of to have that miserly character, and they would give in charity. They would give in charity. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. They are the successful ones. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. So the next category of the best of the people, who are they? Those who come after the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, 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 right until Allah wills. And they are, inshallah, us as well. What do we say? رَبَّنَا. What do we say? What are we supposed to say? يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Oh Allah, oh our Lord, forgive us and our brothers who have preceded us in faith. Who are our brothers? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So you have the Rafida, Sheikh Rabi says, they curse the companions and they revile the companions, and they say all of them became kuffar except Ahlul Bayt, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even they don't know what Ahlul Bayt is. They say Ahlul Bayt is not even the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why they speak ill of Aisha. Khomeini spoke ill of Aisha when he said that Surah Al-Baqarah was named after her. That, calling her that bad name. And he, Khomeini, you may see him on the outset, he may look the part. He has a beard, he may have a robe on, a thobe, whatever. But what's his aqeedah with the Sahaba? He says Aisha radiallahu anha, she's the one who poisoned Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the reason for his death. And this is how they treat the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Yasallahu salama. And in their prayer, after they finish the salah, you can see them in Medina always, these Rawafid, these Shia. After the prayer, they hit their thighs. Sheikh Muhammad Banna said, because what they are saying is Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin. Instead of Jibreel alayhi salatu salam coming to Ali to give him the prophethood, he came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Jibreel deceived, Jibreel deceived, Jibreel deceived. They even speak against Jibreel alayhi salatu salam. What do you expect them to speak against the Sahaba? They speak even against Jibreel alayhi salatu salam. That Jibreel is supposed to have deceived the message. Instead of coming to Ali. And if they were to follow Ali radiallahu anhu, it would be better for them. When Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was on his deathbed, Ali radiallahu went to visit Umar. And he said, you are better than us. You, whenever Rasulullah is going inside a place, you and Abu Bakr will always go with him. When he's going somewhere, you would always go with him. So he mentioned that he's better than us. Ali Radha is saying that. And Ali and other Sahaba were pleased that Abu Bakr and Umar were the Khulafa, the Khalifas. They were pleased with that. So why should the Rawafid have any problem? Why don't they follow Ali Radha anhu? They say that is Yani should be given prophethood. Why don't they follow him in the end? So the believers, Allah says, those who say, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِ الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Oh Allah, forgive us and those who have preceded us in faith. Yani from the Sahaba and the righteous thereafter. So Shaykh Rabi refutes them. And the only ones who hated the kuffar, the Sahaba, Allah described them as disbelievers. لِيَغِيذَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. Allah mentioned, لِيَغِيذَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. And the Shaykh Rabi Hawala says that is one of the proofs to show that yani some of the scholars, as Malik, Imam Malik rahimahullah, considered some of the he considered this verse to be a proof to show that those who say that they are who hate the Sahaba, that they are disbelievers, because he says the only ones who hate the Sahaba are the disbelievers. لِيَغِيذَ بِهِمَ الْكُفَّارِ. So he mentioned that in that section. So and in the end he mentioned about the Khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali being a distinguished Khalifa. And one point just before we finish this section, and that is, some of those who migrated, they were not able to That's a good question. In fact, Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, he says they are disbelievers. Why? Because especially those in Saudi Arabia who go through the curriculum, who go through learning Tawheed, learning Hubbul Sahaba, they have no excuse. So there's a general ruling that the ulama give, and that is that they are kuffar. In general. Because whoever says the Quran is three times, as the Quran we have now, it's not really the Quran we have now, it's actually three times as big, like Khomeini, he says that. And whoever denies an aspect of the deen that is known by darura, by necessity, and loving the companions is known in the deen by necessity, then they leave the fold of Islam. And in fact, Shaykh Salam Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says about this, he says, those who say the majority of the Sahaba are disbelievers, or they are sinners, then they are disbelievers. And as for those who say they are not the majority but some of them, then usually they establish the proof upon those individuals. But as for because maybe he's insulting them, not because of a dini matter. So there's tafsil in this matter. If anyone insults the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum not for a dini matter, any matter of the dunya, then some of them say that he's not left Islam, but actually he didn't insult them for a dini matter, for a religious matter. But if you insult them for a religious matter, for a reason in the deen, like they insulted Aisha radiallahu anha, and they insulted the other companions, then those who insult the majority of them, as Shaykh Salam Taymiyyah says, with being as having kufr, disbelief, then they are disbelievers. But this matter, when the ruling is given in specific terms for a particular Shi'i, Fulan ibn Fulan, then they would look into his affair. So for example, Khomeini, they would look into his affair. Well, look what he has written. And the stuff that he has written, A'udhu Billah, made some of the scholars say that he is not a Muslim. He's not a Muslim. For he reviled the Sahaba with revilement, with the utmost disrespect. And they called the Sahabiyat sinful. You can't even mention the words. I can't even mention it. A'udhu Billah. A'udhu Billah. So in general, and even they themselves, they have categories. Don't think the Shia are one. There's the 12 Ashariya, the 12 Imams, if you like. And there are different categories amongst the Rafida. But the general principle that Shaykh Salam Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, that those who say that the majority of them disbelieved and left Islam, these are the ones, clearly they are disbelievers. They are kuffar. And many of them are ignorant. And you will not find them praying five times a day. They have their own salah 3 times a day. And they say because Allah said in the Quran, because they don't follow sunnah. They don't have the sunnah like we know the sunnah. They say, they try to take out a verse out of context. So for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ, they say that's one prayer. When we know, when the sun is out, there's 2 prayers. Dhuhr and Asr. They say, it's only 1 prayer. إِلَى غَسَقِ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ, to the night, they say that's the 2nd prayer. And we know in the night there are 2 prayers. يعني مغرب and عشاء. And then, وَقُرْآنِ الْفَجْرِ is the other prayer which Allah specified. They say it's the 3rd prayer. وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. So they say there's 3 prayers based upon that verse. And they have, يعني, رحمك الله, those who don't follow the sunnah, you will find, subhanAllah, lots of ajib things. From the strange things about the Shia, neither do they, when they do the, neither they follow the sunnah in wiping over the feet, for example, Sheikh Al-Bayd mentions. So they don't end up wiping the socks. They take off the socks and they wipe the foot without the sock. Ajib, huh? And there's other ajaib things that they have. This is in issues of fiqh. But in issues of aqidah, we mentioned lots of ajaib. Now, the general ruling is that there are disbelievers who hold, anyone who holds the sahaba have left the deen and they are all kuffar and murtad, that person is not a Muslim. Because of the turmoil, the bloodshed that will be caused if they are refused entry, there may be cause, maybe a war that can be caused. So from hikmah, from wisdom, is that they are allowed to come in. And also, alhamdulillah, we have seen with our own eyes in Medina, in Baqi', see, some of them, they like to go to the graves of Fatima radiallahu anha and other sahabi from the Ahl Bayt. They like to go for those graves and take the soil and they put it on in a plastic bag. When they go home, they bake it into a clay and they make sujood over it for getting closer to Allah. Shirk. They have lots of shirk in their aqidah. So I saw in my own eyes, they have alhamdulillah, in Baqi', you have gods. And when one of these Rafidi wanted to do that, he got stopped. He said, "La, stop." So alhamdulillah, they get stopped from doing lots of issues of shirk. So they don't have a free roll to do what they like. And some of them, they caused a bit of turmoil recently in Medina, where they wanted to and they're evil. Even Khomeini himself said, if I were to be given leadership over Mecca and Medina, the first thing he will do, he said, I will dig up the graves of Abu Bakr and Umar. He will dig up their graves. And it was known also, some of their political leaders, when they passed by the grave of Abu Bakr and Umar, they spat, one of the previous leaders, he spat towards the grave of these sahaba. But what happened afterwards, that same day he had to listen to the khutbah of Ali Hudayfi, who refuted the Shia and their filthy beliefs. And because of security reason, they stopped Ali Hudayfi from continuing. Security reason, not because he was wrong in what he said, not because he was wrong in what he said. And much of the Shabab, unfortunately, Ikhwanis and so on, what do they end up saying? Oh, look, they stopped the Imam. No, they stopped it because of security reason. If they only realize that's what they say, إِذَا عَرَفْتَ السَّبَبْ ذَهَبَ الْعَجَبْ. If you know the reason, you'll cease to be amazed. You'll cease to be amazed. So they stopped him for a period of 1 year. And alhamdulillah, the day he came to lead the prayer was, I think, Salat al-Maghrib. He led the prayer. In Fatiha, he cried. When he came back to lead the prayer in Masjid al-Nabawi, the Imam Ali Hudayfi Hafidhahullah, who's a great alim, a scholar of his own right, from the scholars of Ahl Sunnah, walillahi alhamd. And he's one of the few, mashallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Masjid al-Nabawi, amongst the other ulama, clarifying the true aqidah and the true methodology. Because he speaks, even in his khutbah, he speaks about the groups and the misguided innovations and so on, which is mashallah tabarakallah, this is a reason for our situation nowadays. So love of the sahaba is deen. Sheikh Rabi says, if love of the ansar is deen, min babil awla, from first and foremost, love of the muhajirun is deen. Hadith in Bukhari, hubbul ansar min ad-deen. Hadith in Bukhari, Prophet said, love for the ansar is deen. So what about the muhajirun? Of course, min bab al-awla, that is also from deen. So we should love Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and Umar al-Khattab, and Uthman ibn Affan, and Ali radiallahu anhu, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and Khabbab radiallahu anhu, who was tortured, and he said in the famous narration in Bukhari, ask Allah to make dua for us, because they were being tortured and hardship. And Sumayya radiallahu anha, the first female martyr, when the kuffar brought her in front of her son, and they pierced a spear in her private parts, nasallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they killed her. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they did a lot for us, wallah. They strove in Makkah, and they strove to keep this deen alive by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they migrated to keep this deen, and they strove by going to different places. Mu'ad radiallahu anhu, going to Sham, and coming before that, going to Yemen. He went to Yemen because Prophet said go to Yemen. He didn't want to leave. He wanted to stay with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet said go, because you have some debts and you have to clear them. So go to Yemen, you'll be in charge there, and you get some salary, and you can clear off your debts. He didn't want to leave. And the departure, and there's a tape you can get from Sheikh Falah Ismail, where the great departure is called, the great departure, wallahi, the great departure, where he had to leave Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet kept on advising him and advising him and advising him, and tears flowing between the two because of love. And when he came back, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam already passed away. And then when he saw, as he stood by the grave, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, sending salam or whatever, he didn't do what the Sufis do nowadays. They spend hours and hours and hours, yani, trying to seek blessings. No, we face the Qibla and we seek blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather, he contemplated and thinking that if I stay here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is no longer here. So he said, I can't stay here, Rasulullah is not here, I can't stay in Medina. So he migrated to Sham to give da'wah in Sham, to give da'wah in the Sham Peninsula. And other Sahaba radan, what they have done for us, some of them migrating to the yani, different parts of the world just to spread Islam, so that we, alhamdulillah, today can read their narrations. And the ulama after them, the likes of Imam Ahmad rahimullah, and after them. The last narration I want to mention to you, and this is a narration of Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a radiallahu anhu. This is mentioned by Ibn Hajar rahimahullah from the 8th century. This story of this companion who migrated to Medina, but he left his family behind. And because he feared harm for his family, he made a little agreement with the kuffar. And that agreement was, they said to him, you tell us when Rasulullah is going to leave Medina, yani, so that we know the whereabouts of Rasulullah, and we will protect your family, we will not kill them. So he feared for his family, Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a. And so because of that, he used to write to them, not having love for them, not having love for them to give them victory, but having fear for his family, for their well-being. Rasulullah hasn't found out, and he called him. What is this, Ya Hatib? This letter. Because the letter had been, Rasulullah found out about the letter, and it was found, and it was brought to the Messenger. So Hatib radiallahu anhu said, explain his situation. Umar ibn Khattab said, let me strike his neck, because he thought he was munafiq. But Hatib radiallahu anhu had fought in the battle of Badr radiallahu anhu. But because of this, he didn't aid the kuffar having love for them, but rather he fell into that because of fear for his family. So the Prophet said, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ نَظَرَ إِلَى أَهْلِ بَدْرَ وَقَالَ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ. It may be that Allah looked into the hearts of the people of Badr, meaning the Sahaba who fought in Badr, and said, do as you wish. Those Sahaba of Badr, the Sahaba, the angels fought with them. The Takfiriyun nowadays, if they just smell the fragrance of aiding the kuffar, is a kafir. And they will consider Hatib to be a kafir, because they don't have principles. They don't know the verse in the Quran where Allah says, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Except the one who is forced while his heart is full of iman. Like Ammar ibn Yasir, when the mushrikun caught him, they said to him, curse the messenger, revile the messenger, insult the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise we'll torture you. And he did what they said. And he came to the Messenger ﷺ remorseful, sad. And they said to him, and Rasulullah said, how did you find your heart? كيف وجدت قلبك? He said, مطمئنٌ بالإيمان. And Allah revealed the verse, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Except those who are forced to say statements of kufr, to say and do actions of kufr, but their heart is full of iman. They don't want that. They don't believe that. Nowadays, the khawarij, statement of kufr, action of kufr, you are out of the fold of Islam, ala tool, straight away. No questions asked. Rasulullah asked a question. He said, Hatib, come here. Ammar was asked and questioned. These khawarij questioned nobody. To them, all of them are kuffar. And not only kuffar, nasallahu salama, some of them in this country, they also say this country is Dar al-Harb. They are taking money from the government and they're saying we are in a war situation, war zone. Where's the war zone? You go and sign on every week or every 2 weeks. And you're saying they're a war zone. Getting money, sleeping until dhuhr. Sleeping till dhuhr. Getting money from the kuffar. And some of them, they say, khalas, dar harb means you can steal from the kuffar as well. So they go into these supermarkets like Marks and Spencer's and they get the best pomegranates. The best food. And they say, not only because dar harb, you can also have booty. So therefore, the women are halal for you. So they go and have girlfriends from the kuffar and they make halal zina and they make halal stealing. Like this one in Acton. He says to his followers, as the followers told us, he says to his followers, you can go and steal from the kuffar. This one in this takfiri in Acton. Nasallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are the likes of those who follow the khawarij way, who make takfir of the Muslims. Nasallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's one in Acton like that. And we warn against all of them. And we don't fear the blame of the blamers. Because at the end they're going to die. We're not afraid of anyone. Alhamdulillah. The deen of Allah is going to go forward with or without us. But we speak the truth. We speak the truth and we go forward upon that. يَقُولُنَ بِالْحَقِّ وَهُمْ يَعْدِلُونَ. They speak the truth and they're upright upon that. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ وَالصَّلَىٰ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَىٰ خَيْرِ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدْ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And if you want the qissa, the story of Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a, you will find it in Ibn Hajar's book of the biographies of the Sahaba, where he compiled the Tamyiz al-Sahaba, fi ma'rifati al-Sahaba, al-Isaba fi ma'rifati al-Sahaba, or Tamyiz al-Sahaba, naam, al-Isaba. So you can find it in that. Yani, it's alphabetical order, just go to Ha, Alif, and Ba Hatib, and you will find Ibn Abi Balta'a. It's so easy. That's why alhamdulillah our deen is easy. Everything is proof. Everything is dalil. And as for the khawarij, they don't have proof in what they do except cut and paste. And you can even do that in a Word document, cut and paste. And easy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the misguidance of the misguided ones. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah bil alamin. I have to go, inshallah.